What's up, guys?
Dude, you've got like some sprawl space there. You
can, like, I know.
If anyone should have that couch, it's probably me.
That's true.
I don't deserve it. I've earned it. Look at me. Come on. Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm not old. I'm big. Don't say old. I'd rather be big than old.
No, he's old.
They're like, oh, he's old. He needs the couch. He's old. No, I'm fat. That's a big difference.
Hey, come on, guys. Jason's our guest.
Yeah.
Love you, Jason.
Oh, we... No.
Yes.
No. Hey.
Okay, don't, these are ours. These are ours now.
Sorry. These are mine.
We need these, right?
I keep on wanting to drink my microphone. I'm always like, oh, wrong one. I'm serious. I've done it like twice.
He's from Indiana. Give him a break, guys.
Okay, hey, let's kick this night off, Courtney.
Let's pray.
Let's do it.
Father, I thank you so much for what we're able to do here tonight, Lord. Worship you and try and ask some questions, Lord. We just ask right now, Lord, that you would impart your wisdom, all of your knowledge to us, Lord. Lord, that we would be able to accurately answer these questions for Velocity. Lord, we just ask that you would empower us, enable us by your Spirit to rightly speak about what your word says concerning these questions. So, Lord, we're dependent upon you, and we're trusting that you will answer these questions for us and use us as vessels to speak through us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for being here in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. I think Jason's going
to
take it away.
I'm going to kick it off. Hey, how many of you guys enjoy Revelation, what you guys are studying? Well, Kevin's not here, but I would pat him on the back right now because you guys have really good questions. And my questions tonight are pretty much just mine. Or do you guys have some too over there?
What?
Do you guys have Revelation questions?
Yeah, I got a couple.
You got a couple?
No.
All mine have to do with Revelation. And we had a lot of Revelation questions. So I think it's great that you guys are loving it. But my question is, and you may not think it's Revelation, but it is. It says, before Jesus died on the cross, could people go to heaven? How many of you guys think people could go to heaven before Christ? How many people, what? Yeah, but Christ died so we could go to heaven, right? So where did the people go before that? Heaven. Oh, is it your question I'm supposed to answer? Whose question? I had a question. Hold on. I forgot I had a question. Before this, I'll get right to this. I had a question about Judaism. They're learning about Judaism in class in one of their scholastical classes or whatever. And the Judaism is they're watching videos and stuff, but it's being brought, commented on by Islamic people and cultists. And they're the ones saying that, oh, God is an angry God of the Old Testament, and he is judgmental, and he casts down fire, and he's all this. And the question was, what should I do? And first, then you need to draw a difference between those, Judaism and Christianity. The difference is Judaism doesn't believe that Christ was the Savior, the Messiah, and she does. But my encouragement to you is this. If you ever hear people bashing Jews or Judaism or the religion of Judaism, my encouragement is not to defend them as much as to bring the other side of the story. So they may say God is an angry God. God cast down fire from heaven. My encouragement is to say God also sent his son to die for us, to kind of combat it with the New Testament message of grace, of a son coming to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins, so that he would never have to do those kinds of things, so that we wouldn't all end up in fire. So to answer that question, I forgot who answered it. Be New Testament on him. Be a Christian. Don't defend Judaism. Defend Christianity and defend your God. So that said, let's go back to this one. Christians, do people go to heaven before Christ? In Luke chapter 16, we see a story that Jesus tells of Lazarus, a poor person on the street people, an older rich man. And they're talking about how Lazarus used to get fed the food off the scraps off the table from the rich man's house, and they both died. And it says, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in the flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is conformed here and you are in anguish. All that to say this. This story takes place before Christ died because Christ told the story. But he's saying, hey, there was a rich man. He died, went to Hades. The poor man, Lazarus, went to Abraham's bosom. Okay? Is that heaven? How many of you guys think Abraham's bosom is heaven? Okay, you guys are wrong. And I brought my trusty little whiteboard here to show you.
Let's see his prof.
Courtney makes fun of me on my whiteboard. Okay. Whoop. Timeline. Okay? This is Adam and Eve. Adam, Eve, this is Christ coming and dying on the cross. You got this? And this is probably about where we are, the church. Church. Okay? So this is our timeline. Everyone that died from here to here would go to one place, okay? And it was called Abraham's bosom. And Abraham's bosom is a, we'll just say, compartment like this, okay? And in this compartment, you guys are laughing, but this is true. In this compartment, you have one side over here, and then you have this huge crevice, this hole, and then this side. Okay? You guys following? I know this is a really good drawing, but bear with me. This is Sheol, or Hades. Okay? This is bad. Okay? Got that? Everyone cool with this so far? This side is called, what are some of the names we call it? Paradise. That's probably the best name for it, okay? Paradise. And this is good, okay? So, when Lazarus died, he went to paradise. When the rich man died, he went to Sheol. And this is an abyss. Can you guys all say abyss? Okay, cool. This is abyss. I'm not sure if that's the way you spell it, but that's the way we're spelling it tonight. Hey, that's what it says. Okay. So, what it's saying is the rich man died, went to Sheol, and looked across this abyss into paradise and saw Lazarus with Abraham and said, hey, it sucks over here. Can you send him here to give me some water? And Abraham said, no, you had your chance. You didn't take it. But when Christ died, the question was there a heaven? No, they went here. Heaven, you like this, Courtney? Heaven is up here. Heaven. Okay? You guys all cool with that? These are angels. Oops, I don't know what that is. Angels.
Now, Jason.
Angels.
Paradise is good. Sheol is bad. Now, heaven, good or bad?
Heaven is awesome.
Awesome. Okay, good.
Okay. Hey, what are you guys talking about over there? You guys making fun of my drawing?
No.
Not at all.
Okay. Actually, Denver was complimenting the drawing.
Now.
I don't think I could draw those lines straighter with a ruler.
You couldn't do it. You really couldn't. Okay. So Christ died. Okay. Christ went down into Abraham's bosom, grabbed all the people from here when he died, and took them right up to heaven. Now, when you die now, let's say you die tonight. Are you a Christian? Okay. Just had to check because I didn't want to lie. So this is you. What's your name?
Oh.
Are you like a Christian, professing Christian? Or is it just your name that's Christian? Sweet. Okay. So here's Christian. Okay? He dies tonight. He's a Christian. Does he go to Abraham's bosom? No. He goes straight to heaven. So now everyone since the cross goes straight to heaven. But people that die now don't go to hell. They go Sheol still. But in Revelation, you'll read, okay, Revelation 20, after the 1,000-year reign, or after 1,000 years, Satan is again unleashed out of the abyss. Satan and the demons are bound in the abyss by chains. He comes back after the 1,000-year reign. He tries to start his stuff again. God kind of says, nah, not going to happen. And after that, there's the judgment day. And after judgment, what happens? It's good to see you guys are reading ahead.
Yeah.
Well, let's use proper terminology. They go to the lake of fire. Okay, that's the lake of fire. This is now eternity here or here. Okay? This is what we all consider hell. When you say you're going to spend hell in eternity, it's actually the lake of fire. Right now, people are just in a bad place. This is hell. So, did Christians go to heaven before Christ? No. Where do they go? And now where do they go? And where do people that are unprofessing Christians or un-Christians go? And where do they go after Judgment Day? Amen. Anyone has a problem with that? Read Revelation.
That was very good. Seriously, that was nice.
That was my best shot.
That was good. Okay, guys, I'm gonna knock out three questions really quick. Did Jesus ever see snow while in human form living on the earth? Well, Jason found out for me. He probably most likely did, because in North Israel on Mount Hermon, there is quite a bit of snow, and there also is a little bit of snow in southern Israel as well. So probably saw some snow, okay? But I do not think there were snowboards back then, so no snowboarding. Okay, what is pre-trib and why do we believe in it? Well, guys, here at Q&A Buffet, I think we've answered that several times. So if you guys want to refer back to velocityabq.org and look through the questions, and I believe there would be a little section that you could click on and go to any kind of revelation questions. If you can't find it, go ahead and email us and we'll answer the question again for you, but I believe you could find it there. Also, this is a pretty intense question. Let me read it to you. It says, before the Native Americans were taught the word by the Spaniards, were they sent to hell for not believing in God, even though they did not know about him? Well, I want to point you then towards the Truth Project, because the whole next semester, you guys are going to learn all about that kind of stuff. So if you guys want to get a good answer on that question, go to the Truth Project on Monday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, okay?
Hey, and that's not a cop-out. That question you just can't answer in, like, Courtney could answer it. I'm not saying he couldn't. He could answer it, but we need, like, you would need to teach a message on it.
Yeah, it's a pretty in-depth question to really.
But here's my question. Back to the snow one.
Okay.
Jesus is the Word, and everything was created in the Word, such as the heavenly bodies. So Jesus originally made angels. Do you think he made a snow angel? Questions. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
What's going on in that mind of his?
I don't know.
Why don't you draw that on the board for us?
Yeah. Oh, man. Actually, I'd love to see Jason do a snow angel. That would be classic.
It's a big.
If you guys go to the Peak, Jason will do a snow angel for you, okay? The Peak, Jason, snow angel.
We actually call them
February
legions.
13th, all right?
Look at, we're just like plug after plug.
Velocity ABQ, the Peak,
yeah,
Truth
are,
Project.
Dang, we are good.
Coming this spring.
Okay, on a serious note, it says, if we worship God for all eternity, what is all the mansions and the streets of gold and trees of life for? This is my question. I want to answer the question with another question. Why, whenever we talk about revelation or we talk about God, are we always consumed with the things that surround God and we're not very mesmerized by God himself? Why is it that in the time frame when we would actually be in the presence of God, our questions aren't like, well, what about God or worshiping for eternity? But no, it's golden streets and mansions. But in all reality, guys, if you're going to be in the presence of God, do you really think you're going to give a care about the streets of gold? Because also it says here on earth that our whole purpose is to worship God. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then love others as well. Our main focus, our main purpose, our main goal, our only aim here on this earth is to worship God. But yet God has given us all creation. And it says in Romans 1 that it's the very creation that he gave us that declare his Godhead, that declare his divinity. And so these things aren't the focus. It's only things that he gives us to point them to himself. So when we read in Revelation about golden streets, I don't know. John saw it. It must be there. But the focus is that we are worshiping God for all eternity. And that is not a cop-out. But that is really where we need to focus our attention on God. Because we're so focused on everything else but God. Well, God is this, but what am I supposed to do here? Or what about this? Or what about this question? What about God? Have you just sat and focused on God for a little bit? So that's my encouragement to you. What are the streets of gold all about? I don't know. God just created them. But the focus is that God will be worshipped for eternity. And that's our aim, and that's our only desire, is to worship God. Anything to add to that?
Well, one of the cool things, it doesn't necessarily say it biblically, but it does talk about the roads of the streets of gold. How many times have you like walked out and walking to school or whatever and looked over and admired the asphalt? Like really just been like, wow, that the placement of that is perfect, and the texture and the smoothness. And the idea of a street of gold is not so we can say, ah, my house has a street of gold. It's saying that God is so awesome that gold is something you put your trash on, that you walk upon. God is so much more than gold that gold is used to pave the streets. Mansions are nothing there compared to the glory of God. And Courtney was kind of going at that point. But for me, it's not like, ooh, walls of diamond and streets of gold. I bet I could sell that on eBay. It's more of like, how awesome is God? How awesome is it just to hear about the angels that surround God? How awesome is it to think of lightning coming from his eyes? How awesome is it to think about the angels circling for eternity, just screaming out Hosanna and glory? That they're so awesome that the street is just made of gold, which is nothing. It's like asphalt to us. How many of us are rocking asphalt bracelets and asphalt rings and like, ooh, do you see that asphalt I'm rocking today? No, asphalt's worthless to us. It's cheap. That's why we put it on our streets. It's worthless. Gold's worthless in heaven compared to God's glory.
That's good. Denver?
No need for bling. No need for the bling. All right. This question. Will my questions be answered in heaven? This person has a lot of questions. It's all good. So if you guys want to open up your Bibles to Philippians 3:21.
I thought you were going to say, well, let's start in Genesis and work our way back, and we'll answer all those questions.
Sorry. All their questions.
All of them.
What you should do is ask your questions that you want to ask in heaven.
You should do the 90-day challenge and see if you have questions after that.
Yeah, do that.
Another
too.
Plug.
You're a little late for the 90-day challenge, but. All right, so you're there. Actually, go to verse 20, and it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working which he himself is able to subdue all things to himself. So this can kind of go along with what Courtney was saying, like streets of gold, right? All this awesome stuff. We're going to get these awesome bodies in heaven, transformed. And I think our bodies, in Exodus, Moses was on Mount Sinai with God getting the Ten Commandments, right? And Moses, when he came down off the mountain, he had to wear a veil because being in the presence of God transformed his face. So he had to wear this veil, right? Because all the children of Israel were like afraid of Moses because he had been that close to the presence of God and in the presence of God that his face was transformed. That's pretty crazy, right? Like just his glory transforms Moses' face. So like you could say God rocked his face off or something. So, okay. But see, when we get these new bodies, I kind of think that we'll be able to be in the presence of God, and we will be in heaven, and I think that's why we get these new bodies. That's one reason, I think. So, will all our questions be answered? We all have a lot of questions. I remember growing up fighting with my sister, like, well, we'll just ask God when we get there, you know, like arguing with my sister, like, about some stupid thing, who knows what. But I remember having that. So, are we going to be concerned about these questions when we get to heaven? Like Courtney's saying, God is awesome, right? It's not, who cares about the streets of gold, because that doesn't even matter because God is that awesome that he can have streets of gold, right? So we're going to be so focused on the Lord and all that he's, how great he is and how glorious he is and how awesome he is, right? Like what Jason wrote on the board. I don't think we're going to be worried about these questions. But hey, if we do remember those questions and we're able to ask God, why wouldn't he be able to answer them, right? So, and also in Revelation, we've read it before where it talks about God's going to wipe away every tear. There'll be no more pain, right? God's going to do some awesome things when we get to heaven. And I think we've got a lot to look forward to.
Right on. Yeah. And I think it's just awesome to think about. I was telling Denver when we were talking over that question, I was like, you know, it's going to be cool just to, like, hang out with David for a couple thousand years. Just kind of hear about Goliath, like, over and over again. You know, like an old man telling a story. Have I ever told you that story of Goliath? Yeah, David, a couple times now. But no, like, think about how cool it'll be. Like, I don't think we really grasp eternity a lot. But, like, think about how cool it would be. Like, find your favorite character in the Bible and kick it with them for a couple thousand years. Like, it would be awesome. And you're always in the presence of God because God's always present. So you're glorifying God by living in glory and talking about him. It's just awesome.
Eternity is such a crazy thing to think about, and it's something we can't really get our minds around. So I don't think we can't fully understand it. And so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Sweet. All my questions almost wrap real nicely into each other. But this question says, can you ever get out of hell and go up to heaven? Well, yes, if you accept Christ. But if you're already in hell, I guess you can't do that. Is that an answer good enough for you guys? No, it's not. A couple of people are like, no, that sucked. Revelation 20, again, verse 11. This is talking about the judgment before the great white throne. It says, then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he would be thrown into the lake of fire. The cool thing about tonight is, you guys all know now what the lake of fire is, right? So what this is saying is, okay, Revelations is done, end times, tribulation, all in the past, 1,000 years in the past, it's all done. God takes Satan, he casts him into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet were. And so now there's that trinity of evil there. Then he pulls up everyone from beginning to end, everyone. All the dead, all the people that died at sea, all the people that were in Sheol and Hades. He pulls them all up into heaven, and he has two books. He has what's considered a library of books here in the Book of Life. And he'll pull up the Book of Life, and if your name's not in the Book of Life, he'll look over to these books. And these books are everything we've done wrong. Okay, that's why it's a library, because there's quite a bit of it. So let's say you are not a Christian, or you were in Hades. He pulls you up, he says, okay, this is what you're guilty of. And he reads off all your sins. And then he looks in the Book of Life and says, well, you're not in the Book of Life, lake of fire. And the people that were in the Book of Life go where? Heaven. Great, we're all hanging in there together tonight. So the question was, can you ever go to heaven once you're in hell? And the answer is no. There's a judgment that will come after the 1,000-year reign. And that judgment will be final, eternal, forever. You had your chance. You did not take it. Goodbye. And can you ever go up there again? No. I personally believe that you'll be able to see heaven from there. And you'll be able to see what you're missing. Because it talks about that, what we just read with Lazarus. But in heaven, like we've kind of talked about here, we will be basking on the beaches of God's glory, and we will not care to look at the lake of fire. So if you're in the lake of fire and you're looking at me in heaven, I'm not looking at you. So can you ever get up there? Nah, not at all. So the only way you can get to heaven is by?
Jesus.
Jesus Cristo. So that's that answer. Courtney?
Yes.
What do you got?
Okay, guys. If I hear rumors that the world will end in 2012 or 2020, should I believe it? What do you guys think? This side, should you believe it? Yay or nay? This side. Okay, Denver. I think we're good. No.
No!
Okay, no.
Wait.
No, seriously, guys. I mean, when you guys are walking the hallways at school, do you guys hear a lot of stories, a lot of rumors? So-and-so did this. Such-and-such happened over the weekend. You guys hear all that kind of stuff. And the majority of the things that you hear are very, probably very skewed. You know, like,
Most things are like bits and pieces of something or other. But when it talks about, will we know when Jesus comes back? Whenever you have a question about the Bible or a question about God, you always have to filter it through what God's word says. Because some people can have some very, what would seem to be intelligent answers to our questions or some good ideas. Well, I put these numbers together and I was looking at the moon and it was positioned there. So from those things and the mathematical equation that I came up with, I decided that Jesus will come back on 2020. No, because God's word says here, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels. When Jesus is talking about the end times, he says no one knows the day or the hour. He says, now there will be a season when things will happen. It's like when Kevin's teaching about Revelation and when we talk about the different things that are going on in the world today, it seems like there's a season that's happening right now that we may very well be in the season of when that Jesus will come back for his people and will be ushered into this end times. But the day or the hour, the actual day of the events, we have no idea. Jesus says, so it's as simple as that. They may be very convincing of their reasons why they think Jesus will come back at these times. But there have been people all years way before this that have said and declared that, well, Jesus will come back at this time. And we're still here. Jesus hasn't come back. And so no one knows the day or the hour. That's Matthew 24, verse 36. There's your answer.
And let me just add to that, because this weekend I was in Denver and I was just chilling with a couple of my friends in a room and we were watching the History Channel. Anybody watch the History Channel here? Okay. Did you know that's where this question's coming from?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Know.
Right now, they're running this special, and it's, who's that dude? What was that guy's name?
I haven't been watching it. I was told about it at work.
It's like, anyways, they're running this big special about 2012. And it's talking about how the Mayan calendar and the Hopi calendar all are perfect, except they all stop in 2012 on a certain date. They're all lined up like that. And they get this great argument. The cool thing was is that I stayed up later, and guess what was on right after that? Why Jesus, the Da Vinci Code was false. And so it talked about how great Jesus was and how right Jesus was. And so let me encourage you guys, if you watch these like history channels, they're trying to push that point, but then they also push other points. And think of it this way, like just line it up to the Bible. And the Bible is truth. And those some of those things that they were saying just don't line up. For it to be 2012, if there's a 7-year tribulation, when would the tribulation have had to start? 2005, right? And I don't think those things have happened, right? So could 2012 be the end of the world?
Never!
Okay. So just, hey, watch what you watch on TV and always line it up with the Bible, because they make convincing arguments. By the end of that thing, I was like, oh, the blue star is going to tell us when God comes back. And then I was like, wait a minute, there is no blue star in the Bible. Probably not true. So they're just pushing this big campaign right now for it. That's all.
So when you watch SpongeBob and stuff, make sure it lines up with the Bible.
Dude, there's no squirrels
get
under
all
the
that,
sea.
Get all that correct when you watch TV. What's up? Then he's going to come back, right?
God's laid out certain things that have to come about, and he's bound by his, he cannot lie to us. So if there are things that have to happen before God comes back, they will happen. He can't just show up one day without living up to these things. He's bound by truth, and he cannot lie.
All right, next question.
That was awkward silence.
I don't even know what was said. I'm like totally oblivious up here.
Maybe
okay,
you're a little too
just like
cozy
normal,
in that chair.
Denver, continue on.
All right, Revelation 11:5. It says that fire will flash out of two witnesses' mouths. Is that metaphorical or not? So let's read it. Revelation 11:5. You guys can get there, or I'll read it to you. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. So it's talking about these two witnesses. And before that, it mentions them, and after it mentions them, and it talks about their death. But we don't really know whether it's metaphorical or not. I think it's literal. I think these guys are going to be two literal people. But even since we don't know, I think it's just pretty awesome to picture these guys. You guys ever go to the balloon fiesta, and you like hear the balloons, and it's like, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, that crazy noise, and it kind of scares you. Just imagine these dudes devouring their enemies like that. Like their enemy comes up on them, devoured, right? These guys are pretty awesome. Epic dudes. So we don't know for sure, but I like to think, and I believe that they are literal witnesses. So, that's that. So. They do it on Left Behind. Jason. I always wanted a balloon growing up. I think that'd be so cool.
I don't even really want the balloon. I just want that thing. I just want to sit in my backyard in my gondola and be all...
So you can devour your enemies? That noise is fun, too.
You're doing a really good job of it, too. Mine is all bad. It's all...
Yeah, you're not going very hard in that balloon.
My balloon is out of gas. It's a little out of hand without Kevin here, right? Doesn't it seem a little crazy? I've been in enough.
You guys, what happens in Q&A stays right here, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't have to know about this drawing, okay? Yeah. Or the sound effects.
Yeah. No, he should know about that.
That should just be a ringer for your phone.
Great idea.
I liked it. Okay, next question. Can your name get taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life? See how I told you all my questions go together? I should have just all done them once and then just gone away. But Revelation 3:5. You guys have just been through Revelation 3:5. What does it talk about? These guys are I'm guessing the Book of Life, since the question's about the Book of Life, maybe? Revelation 3 talks about the Church of Sardis. And he says in 3:5, Christ is saying this. He says, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, can God take your name out of the Lamb's book of life? According to Christ, God, he says no. And when he's talking to Sardis here, he's saying, if you stand up for me, if you confess me in hard times, I will confess you in the end. So, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. First off, God doesn't change his mind. Okay? Let me just, everyone know God doesn't change his mind? It's good. That's the whole truth of that. God does not change his mind. So if he pens your name in there, you're in there. He's not going to be like, dang it, he really let me down. Today he's out. Okay? That's not it. He says right here in Revelation 3:5, I will never blot his name out of the Book of Life. Courtney.
Oh, that was a quick one.
Yeah, I've got nothing funny on that
one. I wasn't
quite
ready yet. I figured he's going to, like, draw me something.
Okay, guys.
I've always said that Jason is full out of hot air.
Okay, I think this is going to be the last one. We're going to close it up with this one. Sorry, Denver. Okay, it kind of goes along with what Jason was talking about. Here's the question. If we have accepted Jesus but don't follow him like we should, will we still go to heaven? It's a pretty in-depth question, to be honest with you. Let's start off in 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. I'm going to read you guys four different verses, okay, and then I'll kind of bring it to a conclusion. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which you also were saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. He says, by which you were saved, if you hold fast, if you continue to believe. And let's go to Colossians 1:21-23. It says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. He says, you have been saved, you have been sent, you've been holy, you're blameless, you've been presented holy and blameless in his sight, if indeed in the faith you are grounded and you are steadfast. Let's go to 2 Timothy. I don't like these. I'm going to skip the 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to go straight to Mark. Let's go to Mark 13:13.
Dude, I'm going to rip a hole in my Bible flipping pages like this.
Mark 13. 13.
Marcus 13.
13:13. I'm almost there. Okay. 13:13. He says this. He says, "And you will be hated by all my names, by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." This is the deal, guys. Your salvation is based upon what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. And this is the seriousness of it. If your name is in the book of life, it's like what Jason said, it cannot be blotted out. It will not be erased. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, you have begun a race, okay? And you will endure all the way to the end. Because it says that the work that I've begun in you, it's one of my favorite verses in Philippians, the work that I've begun in you, I will bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. So your salvation, your faith, it's just not a one-time occurrence that, oh, you know what, I gave my life to Jesus in Velocity a couple years ago or a couple weeks ago or a month ago. And so now I'm good, I'm sealed, I'm done, I've been written in the book of life. I'm good to go, I can do what I want. No. Because this is the deal, guys. If you truly gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you will continue to abide. You will continue to run. Yeah, you may stumble, you may fall down, you may get tripped up, but you will get back up and you will continue because God declares, and like what Jason said a couple questions ago, if God's word is truth, we can believe it. And no matter what other people say, if God's word says it, then we can believe it. Okay? And so concerning salvation, it has happened in our lives because of our belief, because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if it is the real deal, if you have truly given your hearts to Jesus, you will continue all the way until you see Jesus in heaven and you will obtain the salvation that God has given. Okay? So if you are saved, you will finish strong. You will finish well. Okay? If you slip up along the way and say, you know what? I don't know about this Jesus thing. I'm not too sure about this. Well, then I would probably say you never really truly gave your life to Jesus in the first place. So, anything to add to that?
No, you nailed it.
Okay. Okay, guys, I think we're done with Q&A for tonight, and I think we have some pretty good food for you guys to eat. I want to bring up Courtney.
Wait. Hey, hold on.
Sit down.
Denver's closing in prayer.
Oh.
Are you bringing up Courtney, or am I closing in prayer?
Well, I can bring up Courtney, and you can close in prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Let's see that. It's Courtney, come.
Courtney.
Come on down.
All right. Woo!